Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It wasn't just during the season when people displayed excellence out on the basketball floor. And of course, it has a translation and a meaning in the game of life. He said, what you do in the off season will determine what kind of player you're going to be next season. Same corollary in the game of life.
Haven't you ever wanted to be a sports hero?
Sure, once. But that was a long time ago.
Dude, I'm not going to cave in. End of story, dude.
Dude?
Dude.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
There's a lot of challenges that young men in particular face in the culture right now. And we heard at the start of the program here from one man who was able to rise above some of the really tough challenges that he faced and has become quite a successful sports personality, a businessman, an entrepreneur, and also a leader and mentor in his church. His name is James Brown. You know him as JB at CBS Sports. And he's written a book called Role of a Lifetime. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're going to revisit a conversation I had with him not too long ago about keys to living a life of significance. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Jim today on the interview side. Here's part one of my conversation now with James Brown. Today on Homeward, we are privileged to have James Brown, JB, here in the studio with us. It's thanks for being a part of the program today.
Roger, thrilled to be here.
You've written a book called Role of a Lifetime. This was a very fascinating look. Now, I, like many people, watch you on CBS. I've watched you on television. Actually, you don't know this, but we worked together at Fox. I'm the commercial billboard announcer there. So you had how many years with the NFL on Fox on Sundays?
12 years
there. With Howie and Terry and being the straight man for all those guys.
Absolutely, as they know all too well.
Yeah.
Gosh, and we had rotating number four spots, as Howie used to say, between Jimmy Johnson, Ronnie Lott, Chris Collinsworth, and back to Jimmy Johnson.
What a great calming influence you were on those guys. I mean, you were a good parent for them.
That's good to hear. You know what? I think that language was used in a contract as well. As a matter of fact, I remember the boss, David Hill, one time coming in to get me, says, JB, you're supposed to be the adult in this equation here.
Right. But as we're talking about your story that you write about in Role of a Lifetime, though, you had a little paternal instinct as the oldest of six children?
Was it growing
five
up?
Children. Five children, okay. And you got, so you had to be big brother.
I did, and still am, as a matter of fact. It's a lifelong responsibility, but one that I enjoyed, and my mother and father, God bless them, taught me very well. And they instilled what a sense of family was in me early on, and believe it or not, that's what motivates me today.
Now, this this legacy kind of extends even a generation back to your grandfather. You write about very fondly, was an entrepreneur, had quite a history with businesses, including baseball.
Even though he only had an eighth grade education, Granddaddy was always very entrepreneurially driven. Had a cleaners, as a matter of fact, the first black-owned cleaners in the state of Mississippi back in 1949, I believe it was.
Wow.
And as you mentioned before, had a number of other businesses, a nightclub where all the old black acts used to go through there, Ike and Tina Turner, Bobby Blue Bland, James Brown, etc. And also built homes there. And believe it or not, being a jack of all trades was very instrumental in bringing a young Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. through Hattiesburg to register the blacks there as well, too. So he had quite the background.
Right. And that was just part of your experience growing up. So, of course, you were thinking always, I'm mentoring people. I remember reading about in the book Role of a Lifetime, you mentioned your selection of Harvard University, being a great athlete, player of the year, your senior year in high school, at no slouch school. Tell us about your high school basketball experience.
I was very blessed to attend a great school, DeMatha Catholic High School for boys, 500 boys, and an outstanding coach there, Morgan Wooten, who is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And Roger, one of the early influences in my life outside of the family was Coach Wooten, in that he underscored four priorities that he wanted all of us to have: God first, family second, school third, and then basketball. And he says, if you have those priorities and pursue passionately all that you are gifted at, you'll enjoy success. And while I was blessed to be recruited by every major college in the country for a basketball scholarship, I opted to go to Harvard if I could get in there. That was my thinking at the time, because my mom and dad underscored the importance of getting an education for success in the game of life.
Mm. And you mentioned that they had PhDs in the School of Life.
I love it. I'm so fond of saying that. Yeah. They both have their high school diplomas, but PhDs in common sense.
Yeah.
And when I think about my father having worked 2 and 3 jobs to provide for us so that mom could stay home to raise us in the nurture and admonition of the word, he set the example for what an excellent work ethic is all about, and I'm truly indebted to him for that.
Now, your coach, you talk about Morgan Wooten in these tones of being more than just a coach. I mean, a real mentor. I appreciate one of the principles. I think as I was marking through the book, preparing for our time together, I kept saying, here's a parenting tip. I should have done this with my kids because they've gotten older. But one of the lines is you talked about the fact that he said great players are made in the off season.
Absolutely.
Talk about that and how important that is.
You know, Morgan underscored that it wasn't just during the season when people displayed excellence out on the basketball floor. And of course, it has a translation and a meaning in the game of life. He said, what you do in the off season will determine what kind of player you're going to be next season. Same corollary in the game of life. Mm-hmm. And I took it to heart, too. And Roger, what I did, I would go out every off season at least 3 hours a day and work on sharpening my skills on the basketball floor. And again, it had it resonated in the game of life as well, too, because in preparing for any endeavor, one needs to be well prepared, well schooled. And I try to apply that now in the game of life.
Talk about how that we're talking about an off season here. And I know that there are a lot of parents who might have kids involved in good activities, maybe it's sports or church or whatever. But there really doesn't seem to be an off season. I mean, that implies that there was a time when you were competitive in basketball. But then there was another time where it wasn't basketball season. This was just JB working hard to get ready for next season. Talk about how important that is for parents to make sure their kids have an off season, you know, some downtime.
Wow, vitally important. And I'm sure if my wife were here, she would drive that point home even better. This has been the busiest year of my life.
Yeah.
And decidedly so. I made the decision to do that because I was blessed to form an IT information technology company with a buddy and my brother. And the Lord is blessing us with growth. At the age that I am now, this is my 8th year of celebrating my 50th birthday.
That's a good way of putting it.
I am now a national ambassador for a community for AARP.
Well, 60 is the new 40, though.
That's what I understand. Although I'm trying to hold off for just a little longer. And then, of course, undertaking the writing of the book. So it's been a pretty full off season, but it is so important to have some balance, and I'm not the best at it. My wife ensures that we get that balance because the quiet time to really just quietly reflect, commune with him. Mm-hmm. I so love it when we're able to go up to a friend's beach house a couple times during the summer and just do nothing but just meditate and mellow out and commune with the Lord. And I'm recharged and I can truly then see the trees, if you will, as opposed to being so close to them that you can't. You're just on a moving sidewalk.
Your parents were hardworking. Mm-hmm. You saw that example early on. You had chores growing up.
Oh, heavens, yes. Are you kidding me?
I mentioned the C word. Sometimes parents get chores. Now, what are the kids are like? They don't have any concept of that anymore, but you were doing chores at an early age.
Kids may not be able to see the value in it now while they're doing it, but it sets a great stage for work ethic and skills, if you will, later in life.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I used to wax our floors once a month with the hard bowling alley wax, which today would have no idea. It's paste wax, and I was down on my hands and knees with a pad, rubbing in circles throughout the entire house.
This is a former high school basketball player of the year. In his younger years, waxing the floor.
My mother couldn't care less. Absolutely. I had to earn the right in order to be able to participate in extracurricular activities.
Sure.
I'm a very good ironer. I can iron shirts and pants. I'm very good at that. Washing dishes. Mm-hmm. What I wasn't good at was doing things with my hands, trying to repair items around the house.
Yeah.
They wouldn't allow me to do that because I didn't do a very good job of that. But those things really did pay dividends because, again, it teaches you a sense of a self-worth and also being a part of a team in getting things done. Mm-hmm.
Do you appreciate the value of teamwork more now that you have had those experiences? I mean, as you've gotten into life, you were at sales career, you've been in athletic broadcasting and business. Talk about the value of teamwork.
It is so very important. I know in the book, I talk about the 7 ingredients for successful living, which actually came from a conversation that an executive at Xerox, when I was working there many years ago, talked with all of us new employees about understanding what was going to be helpful to be successful in corporate America. Things like good communication skills, being prompt, on time for something, dressing properly, if you will, which speaks to whether or not you understand the kind of professional environment you're in. But one of the other elements was being a good team player. Mm-hmm. You have to be a good follower before you can learn to be a leader. And being a good follower will prepare you for that. And also in the world of sports, we're so accustomed to using cliches about checking your ego at the door and coming in to be a good participant in a team-oriented function. When you think about now the young people today, with if they're looking at basketball, they will relate to the Lakers. The Lakers didn't do well. And Kobe didn't win another championship until he learned how to be a good teammate. As tremendously gifted as he is, he didn't win a championship by himself without Shaquille O'Neal until this year when he learned the value of being a good teammate. Every joint supplies is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and that's critically important.
Well, that's good wisdom from J.B., James Brown, and today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're getting a chance to hear a conversation I recorded with him not too long ago about talking about the life lessons that he has learned going to Harvard, playing basketball, becoming a professional sports announcer, and the work that he does with his church, too. He's written a book on his life experiences called Role of a Lifetime. We have it up on our website today at homeward.com. Also, I want to remind you too. Dr. Jim Burns has written a couple of books that are very, very helpful, including 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. And you think about some of the principles that JB and I are talking about today here on the program. Jim's books, especially 10 Building Blocks, are outstanding to help you kind of start laying that foundation, being an intentional parent, building these values into your kids, biblical values, spiritual values, that will help them to pursue that role of a lifetime that JB's talking about. For ordering information for Jim's book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family by Dr. Jim Burns, you can go to homeward.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, Mom, can you sign my report card?
Sure.
I made the honor roll.
Oh, so you did.
This is the best report card I've ever gotten.
Well, it's going to have to get a lot better if you want to go to the right college. The competition is fierce, and I'm afraid you're just not measuring up.
Ouch. You want your kids to succeed in life. Do everything you can to encourage your kids to meet God's standard first, not the world's. Now, God does value academic achievement. I mean, I believe he does. But not any more than he values character and responsibility or a grateful, gracious spirit in a child. It's natural for a kid to have a shaky self-image, and he or she will play the comparison game with the culture, and they'll lose every time. Our society isn't necessarily kind to this generation of young people, and if we aren't careful, parents will wind up reinforcing the same unrealistic expectations for brains and beauties that the world has. Well, I'm Jim Burns, with Something to Think About from Homeward.com.
James Brown is with us today on Homeward. We're talking about principles that you'll find in his new book called Role of a Lifetime, Reflections on Faith, Family, and Significant Living. And may I call you JB?
Please.
I think everyone else
Absolutely.
Does. You have really made a name for yourself in so many different areas. I know education was important to you. You were at DeMatha High School. You knocked off that tiny little school, Power Memorial, with that. Who's that guy again?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then known as Lou Alcindor.
Your coach came up with an interesting way for defending him. And I love this strategy because it's kind of thinking out of the box that we parents can apply too, to, you know, don't use the conventional. I mean, here you're 6'6". I mean, you started at 6'6 and left at 6'5. I remember that one. But
that's
you're
so
playing
true.
You're playing against a guy. Was he 6'11, 7 foot in
high
school?
Well, Kareem, and actually, believe it or not, I was in the eighth grade listening to a game on radio, Roger, when DeMatha, the school that I eventually would wind up going to, played Power Memorial High School, which then was the biggest basketball game high school in the country.
Sure.
At Maryland's Cole Field House back then, 12,500 packed in on a snowy evening to watch that game. DeMatha had played Power Memorial the year before, lost the game. And, of course, Kareem at 7, well, then Lou Alcindor at 7 feet 1 inch tall. When they came to play DeMatha the following year, they were riding a 71-game win streak. Hmm. Our high school principal, who was a tennis player, shared with the high school coach, Morgan Wooden, a tip. He says, why don't you have the guys on defense stand with tennis rackets with their arms extended so that the players can get accustomed to shooting over the tennis racket and simulate Kareem Abdul-Jabbar like that, yeah. and Luau Cinder. And they did. And it worked magnificently. And they beat Power Memorial, snapping a 71-game win streak. Well, I came to high school the following year. But later in life, when I was doing broadcasting, and Kareem was with the Lakers, and I went to interview him, he looked at me with a little wary look. He says, oh, you're that guy from that school, right?
Yeah, that's clearly what he would say.
Yeah, he made it a little tough on me for the first 5 minutes of the interview, but he did warm up after that for sure.
But that kind of out-of-the-box thinking, we're living in pretty unconventional times. Mm-hmm. When I read that story, I thought, this is the way we as parents need to be thinking in terms of our kids today were never our age. I mean, the way that James Brown was growing up in the 60s and the 70s, it's a totally different, your daughter has grown up in a totally different culture. Talk about that.
No question about it. And I'm so very proud of my daughter. I shared very openly and honestly in the book as well, too, knowing that in order for the book to be received properly, I had to be genuine and honest about even the blemishes in my life. And I'm not very happy about the fact that with my high school sweetheart, who I thought I was going to marry, I had my daughter out of wedlock. And as I got to know the Lord and realized the error of my ways, one of the things that I did not want to do was to get married until my daughter was of age so that I could explain to her why mom and dad did not get married. I didn't want her being a victim, if you will, of some fast-talking guy, a guy who wasn't grounded in the Word of God, and to understand it from dad's perspective. And I always loved and respected my daughter and with agape love toward her mom to this day.
Sure.
Sharing with my daughter that if her mom were to get married, she would not be adopted because she is my daughter and my responsibility. I recognize that far too many youngsters place so much emphasis on the challenges that their peers put them in with respect to how they're to conduct and govern themselves as young people of Christ. Mm-hmm. So when my daughter got to of age and I explained that to her and she accepted it, when I did find someone I wanted to marry, I got my daughter's permission. Mm. And I'm so thankful because now my daughter is married to a Christ-filled young man. They've given me one grandchild with another on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
And I'm so thoroughly pleased with that. And I know that that conversation was extremely important because I was honest and transparent with her about that. Also, by example, I'm hoping to show so many other youngsters out there who maybe have made the mistake of having a child out of wedlock that all is not lost if they truly ground themselves in the Word of God and conduct themselves in such a fashion, asking for forgiveness and truly standing on His Word and moving forth in, and you'll be blessed accordingly.
That's a very powerful and, I think, authentic message in sexual purity for kids because, let's face it, we've seen the statistics. Mm-hmm. We know how many kids are sexually active. Mm-hmm. We know what's happening in the culture. And I think there's a tendency, especially among late adolescents, maybe 18, 19, 20, to say, well, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I've already done this. Maybe there's a child involved. Maybe there isn't. Mm-hmm. So sexual purity, well, I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And your message is saying, no, wait a minute. Once you've received Christ in your heart, you lived a very God-honoring, sexually pure life and lived that out for your daughter. And what an example
Absolutely.
That is to her and to the culture.
And, you know, when I stand before youngsters, I can tell them, you know, I understand what you're going through. Sure. I qualify because I've been there. But do understand, it is far better to adhere to the Word of God, because when you do make that mistake, the person with whom you've made it, that person is a part of you for the rest of your life. And in the case of me with my daughter out of wedlock, there was always going to be that little hole, if you will, there that, gosh, I wish I could have had her up under the same roof with me to have imparted some more godly principles. Now, God has blessed us in our relationship in spite of, but how much better, how much more rewarding it would have been had that not been there. So for those who are sexually pure now and virgins, to stay that way. God's word really is true. I thank Him very much for having forgiven me, but let's stand on His word.
Awesome. What a powerful testimony. So you're at Harvard. You're playing basketball. Mm-hmm. You made your decision to go to Harvard, and then there was a little fly in the ointment before you went there. And I appreciate the integrity that you had, or at least that your parents forced you to have, in saying no to UCLA. Tell us that story.
I smile because Harvard was wonderful in taking my application, reviewing it, and giving me an early admission to relieve the pressure of the recruiting that I was undergoing. And I was thankful. Not even a week or so after I got the acceptance to go to Harvard, and I'm thrilled beyond measure. And Bill Bradley, by the way, former Senator Bill mm-hmm. Bradley from Princeton, was a hero of mine. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go to an Ivy League school.
Ted Kennedy recruited you.
You know, and many people think that Ted Kennedy probably had the influence that swung and made the difference to go to Harvard versus me going to North Carolina, where Dean Smith was a mm-hmm. big-time coach at the time. But there really were two alums from Harvard who were doing very well in the game of life, mm-hmm. A builder and an attorney. They were the ones who really made the impression on me. It was very nice having Senator Ted Kennedy, don't get me wrong.
Right.
A lot of influence. But the other guys had more of the influence. But when I got that letter from UCLA, I told Mom, I got a letter from UCLA.
Exactly.
I have to go visit. This is the mecca of college basketball. I mean, we're talking John Wooden and yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all of that. And she looked at me and she said, young man, you will learn this lesson. You gave your word. You shook the hands of the people from Harvard and looked them in the eye and said, I'm coming. You're going. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm so happy that she made me honor that. So I've tried to conduct myself that way in life from that point forward.
What a great example mm-hmm. that you had from your parents, that mm-hmm. they had from their parents, and that you've been able to share with your children and now your grandchildren. Congratulations on one plus
yes.
grandchildren. That's great.
And enjoying it too.
Oh, but that what's not to enjoy?
No kidding.
James Brown is with us. JB from CBS mm-hmm. Sports. You see him on television. He mm-hmm. travels the country, travels the world, I would imagine, speaking mm-hmm. and writing and talking to people of all ages. Take 60 seconds as we wind down this segment. We'll talk more about your sporting career and how mm-hmm. you got into the place that you are right now with television in just a moment. But you do work with young people in your church.
Love it. My wife and I have been blessed to work with the God's Covenant Youth Ministry at our church. It is so rewarding to impart, if you will, examples and experiences that we've gone through
yeah.
and showing them how the Word of God is so true that God does honor His Word above His name. And we're thankful to see that message is resonating with so many.
Great. So in addition mm-hmm. to being an entrepreneur and a college graduate, Grandpa, you're also an ordained minister.
Praise God.
And that's
number one.
Yeah. It's certainly great to have a conversation with a guy who's so multifaceted and does so many different things for the kingdom. James Brown, JB from CBS Sports, our guest today on this special edition of the Homeward Broadcast. We're revisiting a conversation that I had with him not too long ago, actually, at the International Christian Retail Show in St. Louis, talking about his book, Role of a Lifetime. Jim, JB has his hand in a lot of different aspects of the culture, and we know as parents, it's important for us to keep up on that. There's a resource that you want to share in the final moments here together that helps parents, gives them the tools they need to stay up on the culture.
Well, it's actually a free resource. You know, every Friday it comes out, and thousands of people read it, and actually hundreds of them tell me thank you. It's amazing. We have almost this cult following of people who love our culture brief. How it started was a guy named Jim Liebelt, who's on our staff and a right. wonderful, incredibly talented researcher, started sending me. It was called the President's Culture Brief or the President's Update. It would help me. And then I'd be doing a radio show and I could, you know, come up with whatever the latest, greatest stuff was that actually he was giving me. And then we said, why are we hiding this? So we deal every week with three issues, and only three issues. So it only takes about 3 minutes to read or less, but it's whatever is hot in the culture. And so it might be the latest on drug and alcohol addiction. It might be the latest on sexual promiscuity. It might be the latest on what kids are doing with driving, you know, how they relate to their parents, just loads and loads of good stuff. It's absolutely free. People can sign up and get it. On the other side, it also says where the big searches are, you know, what were kids searching that week. And so as parents, I always say, listen to what they listen to. Read what they read, watch what they watch. Culture Brief is worth it.
Well, we also have to add to that now, search what they search, I suppose.
Exactly.
That's the 21st century edition
Ooh,
of that.
I like that.
Okay, well, if you're going to be searching what they search, one of the tools that you need to actually make that search more profitable for you is the Homeward Culture Brief. And as Jim was just sharing, it's a resource that comes out every Friday. It's something that you as a parent, or if you're a youth worker, maybe you don't have kids of your own, but you're involved in youth ministry, it's just a quick little hit with four or five bullet points and some links, gives you the rankings of the top 10 TV shows. It's a very, very helpful resource to have, and it's all free when you go to homeward.com. We'll be happy to send you a copy. Actually, you can sign up for the subscription, then it just is automatically delivered to your email account every Friday. Also want to remind you, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family is a book by Dr. Jim Burns that will help you kind of start being more intentional in terms of laying that foundation for how to raise your kids according to biblical values. You can order a copy of that book and support the Ministry of Homeward at the same time. You'll be asking for the information to order 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family when you go to our website, if you're not there already, homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.